Would you like to have any heart-to-heart talk? Then you can ask anything. I'll take up that point, what you would like. All of you are welcome. That's all I can say.
Would the Master expound on the precepts for initiation? That also comes.
That's all right. First of all, we should know what initiation means. Initiation is no ceremony, no rite, no ritual, no offering. It is just like a school. A lesson is given. And that lesson, first the theory explained, enough. And then experience is given, you see. We are all children of God. God is light, and we are also light, being of the same essence as that of God. But our light is enveloped by different coverings of the physical, astral, and kaulo, and super kaulo. Just like a lamp, which is two, three, four coverings, it appears that is not, there is no light there. But when you shake off one covering, you have some light. When you shake off the other one, more light. As you shake off all coverings, you see it is all light. Similarly, we are light, children of light. But enveloped by so many coverings, you see. So initiation means just raise our soul, just shake off the covering first, which is of the physical body, which is iron curtain, I would say, to raise the soul above it. To raise the soul above body consciousness, physical consciousness. And open the inner eye to have experience of light. And also to open the inner eye to hear the voice of God and music of the spheres. This is what this actually means by the word initiation. To be initiated into the beyond. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. For that, what have we to do? We are souls, conscious entities. Our seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. You must have seen some man dying. The light withdraws from the underneath, goes to the back of the eyes, and eyes are upturned. Then the drop-in comes, what is called death. So seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. But it enlightens the whole room, whole body. So those rays of the soul, you might say, which is enlivening the whole body, those are to be withdrawn, brought to the back of the eyes. There the inner eye and the single eye opens, we see the light of God. That is why Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now we have got two eyes. How the two eyes can become single? That's a practical question. See, all of the masters say the third eye should be opened, that is back of the eye. But that opens only when our life current, our sensory current, is withdrawn at the back of the eyes. This is first step. And for that there have been many ways prescribed for that, and many of them are man-made. They are time-consuming, difficult, adult us to, and we are already not fit for those details. They involve prana system. breathing, etc. Or by intellectual wrestling we come to some conclusion. But that is not seeing. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. How to rise above body consciousness, how to die while alive. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the beyond, their soul has the same experience as the soul has the experience at the time of death. So we have to withdraw our soul to the seat of it, which is at the back of the body. So initiation means just somebody, if you can do of your own self, well and good. Anybody and everybody is welcome. A blind man needs two eyes to see. If not, then in that case, we need the help of somebody who knows the way, who is competent to do it. And who is competent to do it? Not the Son of Man, mind that. It is the God in him, which is manifest, that has the power to raise our soul above the bondage of mind and matter, with little thought. That costs him nothing. God made all creation with one thought of it. If God manifests at any human pole, of course God resides in every heart. There is no heart without it. But God is not manifest there. Reason why our soul is under the control of mind, mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties, and our attention is diffused into the world outside through the outgoing faculties. We are identified with the world. So we do not know which is that power. That is there, of course. If by withdrawing our attention from outside, then rising above the senses, we open the eye and see that is there. You see? If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. So this is what it really means, initiation. Before we go to him, our inner eye is closed and our inner ears are also closed. They are sealed, as the scriptures say, you see. So somebody, the God in him, who is manifest, he comes across to those who are really hankering after God. There is food for the hungry, water for the thirsty. Guru appears when the chela is ready, you see. That is God made arrangement, no man's arrangement. He sees some child is after him and then he makes some arrangement to bring such a seeker after truth somewhere where he is manifest, and that manifested God is competent to give him that experience of light and hearing of the music of the spheres. So this is what is meant by education. That is why Christ said to his disciples, blessed are you who see things what the old prophets and righteous men could not see. Then he said, blessed are you who hear things that the old prophets and righteous men could not hear. So there is something of seeing and something for hearing. Hearing the voice of God and seeing the light of God. That is within us already. That is the controlling power which is keeping us in the body. Otherwise we would have run away out of the body. That's all. Two eyes open, two nostrils open. But we cannot. So this is exactly what is meant by initiation. That affection, no religion. Because religions are our school of thought and we have joined to have this very truth. Truth is one. God is light. And God is music of the spheres. A blind man is truly defined by masters as one, not one who has got no eyes on the face, but whose inner eyes closed. In the terminology of the saints, the blind man is one whose inner eye is closed. Always has two eyes on his face. So when you come to him, you are blind. When he gives you a sitting, well, you see light, you testify. So when you return, you are not blind anymore. Now you close your eyes, you see darkness. The one who is competent to remove that darkness, veil of darkness, and the light flows forth, and you testify it is so, well, this is what is meant by initiation. And this here, the ABC starts. This is not the end of my death. When the world's last is end, there the listening starts. There are so many mentions in the house of our Father. There are physical planes, astral planes, causal planes, super causal planes, and pure spiritual planes, the house of our Father. So, the one who is competent to bring your soul up into the beyond and give an experience of the light of God and hear the voice of God, he is also competent to guide you when you rise above body consciousness and traverse into those planes. It is the God in him, what is called God power or the Guru power or the Christ power. This is the ultimate goal before us as a man, and the purpose of joining various religions is only that. And you'll find in each religion, a true Christian is defined as one who sees the light of God. A true Hindu or a Sikh or a Mohammedan, anybody, you see, in the scripture you'll find is one who sees the light of God. We have joined various schools of thought, these are the first step. To remain in some school or college is blessed. But to remain there, not to have that purpose for which you have joined, I think you have not derived the full benefit of joining that particular school. Of course, we have taken the first step what required for preparation of the ground, that is reading of scriptures, saying prayers, performing certain rites and rituals. The purpose is what? By reading scriptures, we know what Master said on the subject. Right and forth thereof also you can have only when you sit by somebody who knows the way. Those who are simply try to interpret the scriptures at the level of intellect, they cannot do full justice to the work. God is light, they say. But intellectuals say it is light of intellect. It is substantial light. So, just scope of reading scriptures and there to create an interest in us to have those very experiences what the Masters had in their lives. So by performing, you see, rites and rituals or saying prayers means what? To develop love and devotion in us for God. These are good actions, they are required for preparation of the ground, but seeing is still above. Seeing arises to the soul when it is liberated from mind and outward faculties. That is where all masters I know thyself. So this is actually what is meant by initiation. When masters come, they don't educate one religion or the other. They simply tell us the highest teaching what all masters gave that we have forgotten and they revive. And who revives? The God in them. This is what this is required. There is something required for that. Preparation ground. First, who can unite you with God? Only with God's grace alone that can unite you. First, to rely everything to God. Second, there are some preparatory things required, you see. Strict vegetarian diet. Avoidance of all meat, fish, fowl, and eggs. Why? Whereas people think that they give strength. What do the animal eat? How strong they are? Because the power by horsepower. Now there's a complaint in the West about the vegetarian diet, you see. About 15 World Vegetarian Conferences have been held so far. One only has been held in India, and 14 have been held in the West. There's a campaign everywhere for vegetarian diet. They have come to know that it's sweeter than meat diet. In every respect. This is one reason. Second reason is that we have to control over our passions. Anything the use of which goes to flare of passions, that we have to avoid. That's the main thing. If doctor comes and advises you not, the patient not to take the solid food, you have to obey. So this is a helping factor. Similarly, we are conscious beings. We have to become more conscious. So anything the use of which goes to make our consciousness marvel, we have to eliminate. All intoxicants, take all of them. And further, good character. So these are the necessity, helping factors to be initiated. Even if you get it, don't live up to it. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. So this is what is meant by initiation, and these are the preparatory grounds. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Maybe as the reactions of the past, or by passing through various vicissitudes in life, by discrimination we know what to do. So this is sort of, you see, hunger with the rest, to have some safe refuge, where to heaven. So such like person in whom this Adya has arisen, God sees, He is within us. He makes some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where you can be initiated into the beyond. This is what is meant, that done the perfection of the religion. That the basic principle of all religions which we have forgotten, that's all. And by parallel study of religions you'll find like that. We all gave us the same. Light and sound is the way back to God. This is God into expression power, two aspects of it. So remain where you are, no need of changing any religion, you see. Simply, to be true to your own religion. And pity it is that I have met most of the health ministers of the various religions. These teachings are there in their scriptures, but they themselves do not know. They know only the elementary steps. And they don't refer about these things. If they do refer, the people ask us, give us please. Then the matter not to mention about. So to add as human, we forget, masters come from time to time to revive that very forgotten lesson, you see. So this is no new religion, no new faith, no new formation. This is helping everybody to be true to his own teachings of their own masters to whom we belong. So I think this clarifies what is initiation and what are the helping factors. The requirements for initiation. That's what else?
Thank you, sir.
No, that's all right. So we have met after a long time, you see, first time in Miami, probably. And if you have any question, to the best in God's grace, I know that you will be given out.
Can you clarify karma?
Like what?
Karma, can you clarify it?
Oh, yeah. Karma question. Well, in all scriptures you'll find this subject has been taken up. Somewhere it is clarified in detail, somewhere simply referred to it. And this is due to the fact these scriptures, most of them were not written by the masters themselves. Most of them. These were written later on. Later on, only by hearsay you can have. Some references are made. In some where they are written, that they will give a full detail of it. So in all scriptures you will find, as you sow, so shall you reap. You see? Action and reaction is there. If you put a seed or pepper underground and water it, what will result? Plant will come out, which will yield hundreds of peppers. One seed. If you put some seed of some fruit, you put it underground and water it, and that will give tree which will give hundreds of those fruits. So very thought, you see, what strikes you, that has reaction. You have one thought and all other thoughts will come up like the pepper or the mango or anything. So there are codes, you see. There are small cause codes in which ordinary cases are finalized in weeks. There are some high codes and pre codes, you see, in which the cases continue for years together. Similarly, action and reaction comes from straight up. Just like small cause code, you see, the mere fruit. Sometimes they take longer course. So as we say, we cannot escape the result of that. And that is the cause of reaction. So what happens, you see? Daily we are having some sowing some seed. Any thought which occurs, that is a seed. When it comes into commission, that becomes an action. Really the seed is there in our thought. So thoughts are very potent, you see. They react very strongly. So there are three kinds of karma, you see. One which you do daily. They are called kirevan, you see, daily we do. And the second which are in fruit according to which your present life is based. Wheels are woe, I mean the richness and poverty, high position, low, some make very strong effort, they cannot go to the front. Others make little, no, they come out to the front, that's all. Some are very learned people, they cannot earn their livelihood. And others are not so learned that they have hundreds of millions dollars, you see. So these are something, reactions of the past, which is bear fruit, according to which our present life is based. And there are still some seeds which have not grown as yet, grown into fruit. Those are called in store, karmas in store. So these are three, I think there is no end to them. You see, every day we are sowing seeds, they are bearing fruit, others are still in store. Well, go on, action, reaction, and like that. I tell you, this is mentioned about Lord Rama, perhaps Ramayana, what you might have heard, that he, after that came Krishna, Lord Krishna, you see. How he died, you know? Krishna was lying in a wilderness, and one hunter was there, there was one eye, you see, in the feet that flashed like the eye of an antelope, you see. That is inside him. Shot an arrow, you see, that went into his feet and he died. When he came near to his side to Lord Krishna and asked him why, well, I regret I never made that, but I thought perhaps it was the eye of a deer or antelope, that is why. So, no, don't fear. It is the eye. I kill you.
Yeah.
In Lord Rama's case, you see, that is the reaction. If even the incarnation cannot escape the reactions of karma, how can we? So now question rises, is there no hope? There is hope. How? Let me see. You have to say anything? I'm going to reply further.
Yes, in pertaining to diet.
Let me finish this.
Yes.
Then the problem. So then when masters come, what they do? They wind up all actions, all karma. How? There's no end. Actually, action will go on. We see so new seeds, some are in fruit, some are in store, again they go on like that. There's no end to that. And even incarnation cannot, I will escape. What the masters do? Those who come up to him, they lay down a line of action. Future life. Yeah. Don't think of either anybody, even thought, word and deed. Be truthful. In all your actions, no acting, posing, at heart something, saying something, like that, not deceiving anybody, and to be chaste, in thought, word and deed, and love all, and do service. These are the actions laid up for future. If you do that, you'll be no showing.
It's pretty tough.
And you're tough. You see, everything appears to be tough, but still, but there's something more than not that much only, you see. This is for reaction. They give him a contact with the God within, with the light and sound of God within. That goes to nullify, help him inside, you see. They have love for all. Naturally, these things come up, become easier. This is one thing. And those karmas, which are in fruit now, according to which our present life is based, they do not touch it. Otherwise, if they touch it, then the man should die. You see, because our life is based on that. But they do, you see what they do, they give food, bread of life to the soul. They give a contact with the light and soul principle within, that is the bread of life, and the soul becomes strong. What is the result? That these present karmas, which come out sometimes poverty, sometimes sickness, something this, because the soul is strong, these all reactions lose their pitching effect. Just like there's a fight going on. There are one very weak and the others are very strong. And the weak one gets one blow, he's turned, he says, I'm killed. And others, they are strong now, where there have been so blows and fighting, we did not even care for that, because they're strong enough. So reactions do come up, but they get the strength of soul by the bread of life, which is coming in contact with the light and some principle within. So present life passed that way. And those in stores, when they come in contact with God, become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, all karmas which are in store, they are burnt away. Just like seeds, if you roast in the heaven, you see, they don't grow up. And this way, how the whole karmas are wiped out, you see. That is why I have to say, what is the use of going to your master if these reactions are not ended? Just like if you go to the feet of a lion, be afraid of the jackals, what's the use of going to a lion? This is how the karmas are wound up, you see. First, by prescribing certain conduct of life, second, inner contact higher. Like that. You please?
Yes, I have two questions.
Yes. What should I do?
One was pertaining to diet.
Yes.
We are to abstain from fish, meat, eggs, and etc. Now, must we also abstain from coffee and tea, which are caffeine and tannic acid?
I tell you. Coffee, tea, etc., you see, does not give you too much intoxication. Intoxication, they come under the category of intoxication. Goes against the law of health, but does not affect killing somebody. I'll tell you why. You see, that is also a sin, strictly speaking. Even to breathe is sin. Because we kill so many insects. To walk on earth is also a sin. We trample so many insects underground, under the feet. To eat vegetables is also a sin. Let you go for that. But each sin has its own value, comparative value.
but must you abstain from the coffee and tea in order to fulfill the word?
That's all. This I'm telling you, that is a sin, strictly speaking, but that does not give you intoxication or letters to lose your consciousness. See? For that some use light, etc. That's another thing, but strictly that is against the high laws.
Good morning and welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of a talk entitled Initiation is Like a Lesson. Although in the December 76 Satsang Desh, it is called Initiation, Karma, and the Nature of Sin. It was given on January 1, 1964, at the Perrins home in Miami, Florida. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard. Hello, Claire.
Hello. This morning I'm going to continue the talk I was last reading called Love is the Way. It was published in the 1976 issue of Satsang Desh. It was given by Master Kirpal Singh at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, D.C. on January 25, 1964. And I'll just back up a little bit from where I finished last time. Mind that there is no sadhana greater than love. All outer performances, rites and rituals, and the saying of prayers are only meant for love. If you have developed love, everything is there. There is no higher law than love. And there is no goal beyond love, because love is God, and God is love. In this way, God and love are identical, for the one who has divine love has reached God. He is one with Him. That is why I said here that what masters taught in their lives is a religion above all religions. They gave out that very love. No amount of intellect can fathom God. No amount of austerity can enable you to attain God. Only when one loves Him and loses oneself in Him can one find Him. It is only by the feet of love that you can lose yourself, when the two become one. And there are no other means, there is no other way back to God, except through love. The question was put to St. John, what is the remedy for all our ills? He said, love, and all things shall be added unto you. And a Muhammad saint tells us, whoever has no love is a dead body. Love, even on the level of man only, revives a man. When you are in a loving mood, your face freshens. Is that not so? And when you are wanting love, you have a sad, pensive, long face. If even in outer ways you find these things to be so, then how will it be when that love overflows your soul? We go to a master because he is overflowing with love for all. When you go near him, your love is flared up. The love that starts in the flesh and ends in the flesh is no love. That is passion. The love that starts from the flesh and dissolves in the soul, that is true love. That makes two into one. Love burns the lover, and devotion burns the beloved. He has to take care of everything for you when you are devoted. Love seeks happiness for the beloved, not for the self. Mind that. We sometimes love in a business-like way. Love knows giving. Devotion seeks blessings from the Beloved. His kind look is all he wants, nothing more. He is not showy. He sees the heart in you. That power which is working at that human pole is residing in you. He sees all hearts, also the heart within you. So, love seeks to shoulder the burden of the Beloved. He wants to shoulder whatever the Beloved has taken up and help him with that. And what do? We show more and do little. Devotion throws the burden on the Beloved, mind that. Once my son was dangerously sick. The doctor advised me, he will pass away in a day or two. Take 2 or 3 days leave and sit by him, for at any moment he may pass on. It so happened that within those 3 days, there was a day on which I had to go to attend a satsang, about 27 or 28 miles away. I thought, well, the doctor has said he will die. What should I do now? All right, I thought. Life and death are not in my own hands. They are in the hands of the Master. It is left up to him. I went to the satsang, and when it was over, it was about 11. Then, as Master lived near that place, about 20 miles away, I thought, let me have it. I went there and reached there about 2 during the day. The Master was upstairs. He sent a man at once. Call him up. I went up. He was lying in his bed. I bowed down and sat down. He sat up in his bed. How is your son? Then I had to tell him he was sick. And he was very sad and pensive. I told him, Master, whoever thinks of you becomes jolly. What has made you sad? Because you have thrown the burden on me. Do you see? The Master's job is very hard. So devotion seeks blessing from the Beloved, but love seeks to shoulder the burden of the Beloved. And devotion throws the burden on the Beloved. Love gives. Love does not require the presence of the Beloved, mind that, in order to love. One who loves, he loves, that's all. He is never alone. A lover is never alone, mind that. He may be in the wilderness. He keeps sweet love for the pure. He resides in him. The Beloved resides in him. They are one, whether they are near or far. So devotion asks, and love is silent and sublime, devoid of outward expression. Such is the ideal of love. This is what Master always referred to as love. Love, love, and love. Love has great blessings. Devotion expresses itself in outward things, but devotion demands the presence of the Beloved to express affection to the Beloved. Then what is greater? Love and surrender. This is the message that has been given by all masters whenever they came. I am giving you no new thing on this birthday which you are going to celebrate. The true celebration of the birthday will lie in the fact that if you live, you have love. Have a life of love. Love and all things shall be added unto you. To my mind, I don't feel joy for the day I was born. I will feel joy only if the purpose for which I am meant is completed. Then I will feel joy. I quite appreciate that you have expressed all your love, devotion, or surrender. You may decide among these in your own hearts. I want you to love. That will give you physical health, moral health, and spiritual health. That is the only way back to God. Physically, it is not possible to be everywhere, but the God in man, God in him, is everywhere. That can materialize everywhere. When you rise above body consciousness, there also you can contact him and talk with him face to face. By God's grace, working through my master, you are, all of you, having some experience to start with, the very first day of initiation. Truly speaking, you are all on probation, but not on such a probation from which you can be discharged, mind that. In the outer world, any service on probation is subject to discharge if the work is not satisfactory. But this is a probation from which you cannot be discharged. But truly, you become a follower when you meet the Master within and talk with him face to face. He is ever with you, and you are ever with him. I wish you all to progress on the way, to be regular in your practices, and to lead a life of love. Love does not even dream of harming anyone. If you want to know God, and you do not love the God in men, if you harm those where God resides, how can you expect to know God? This is what is wanted. As I told you, love is the innate quality of the soul. Love knows no duality. Oneness. I think that is why they say God is love and love is God. I wish you to progress spiritually. Physically, I have not been here for so many years, of course, but as I told you, I was with you all along in thoughts. You know, this is God's grace, and with the grace of my Master, through whom he works, you will remain in my mind so long as he wishes me to continue in the physical body. I think the best way of celebrating this physical birthday is to live up to what the Master says. That's all. And I don't want anything from you except love. You will be truly nonviolent. You will be truly truth-speaking, truly truthful. You will become truly chaste because your love will go into the soul and not remain in the body. And you will have love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. Love knows service and sacrifice. When you know love, you will give, give, and give with no compensation. If need be, you will have to sacrifice yourself for the good of others. If love always knows the betterment of the good of others, not of one's own good, then you will have to sacrifice your everything for the sake of others. If you but learn this very lesson, I think there will be peace in the world, peace all around. The kingdom of God will come on earth. Sometimes masters teach by parables, and sometimes by direct talks. I just gave you a digest of something very directly, in a few words. Now I will give you a parable that is in the Puranas of the Hindus. The God of nourishment invited all the good and bad men, because God provides for everyone, whether he is a bad man or a good one. He laid out a very rich banquet hall. When it was ready and the food was served, the guests were made to sit in their own rows, the good on one side and the bad on the other. Then he rose and said, "Look here, all this that is ready and served is for you. Eat it to your heart's content as much as you desire. But there is one condition. Don't bend your arms to bring the food to your mouth." Bad persons always judge things from their own level. They considered among themselves, "If you don't bend your arms, how can you bring the food up to your mouth?" They decided that they could not find any way out and concluded, "The Lord has ridiculed us. He does not want us to eat." Everyone throws the blame on the other one, even though he does not understand the situation properly. They left the hall. The good men, with some concentration, thought, "It is a God who is telling us this thing. He is not an ordinary man. There must be some truth in it." Take a lesson from this. Master is God in him. He is not an average man. If he said something, there must be some truth in it. We decide from our own levels, and then we begin to blame the master through the God in him. They said, "There must be some truth in it. Let us consider it calmly." Then it struck them, "Oh, it is very easy. Here is the food. I put it in your mouth, and you put it in my mouth. Do you see?" So all were fed. These are parables. If we look after the good of others, everyone will attain good. If we care to feed others, all will be fed. If we care to clothe others, all will be clothed. This is what we have to learn. Love knows this. Love knows giving, service, and sacrifice with no compensation. On this day, I am giving you the best of all I think I have come to know, and that is love. You must become conscious of yourself. God is light and consciousness. That consciousness is now enveloped by matter. You are not matter. You are sparks of light. Be one with the great conflagration of light. I think that in a few words I have given you, to the best I know how, what I came to know by a parallel study of religion and by sitting at the feet of my master. He had love for all. Sometimes people rake up many things. Once it happened in his life that while he was speaking from a platform, some people set up another platform near him and gave talks against him. He never showed authority over anyone. "I dare you to say these things," or anything like that. The poor fellows had no arrangements for food, because they had to come from somewhere else to spread that propaganda against the master. So they had to arrange to bring food from outside. When they had given all their talks against him, Master went there and said, "Brothers, hear me. You are here all alone. Our kitchen is always ready. Have your food here. Have your food here and carry on propaganda against me." This is what is meant by love your enemy. Do you see? Without any consideration, These are the words I have given you in this message. It is a practical experience. My master lived it, and this is what the lesson is. Master wrote to me. He wrote sometimes out of love. One letter has been my guiding star all through my life. He wrote, "We saints come into the world. We have no easy life." He continued, "In the satsang, so many kinds of people come up. Some come to pray and to appreciate. They come to love and surrender. And others come only to find fault, to criticize." He said, "If a bad man does not leave off his bad habits, why should a good man leave off his good habits?" I think this is the sum of what I can give you. If you keep to it, God will help you. Whether I am here or not, the God in me, with the Master's grace, will help you. Love knows no showing. He feels it at heart. He gave me one or two things. Once he gave me a very big carpet. He gave me something to wear. He also gave me an overcoat. I am keeping them for worship, you see. Whom you love his things. Mind that. I was thrilled when I came to know this is Master's, referring to a carpet next to him. Just before Master began his talk, it was announced that the carpet on which he was sitting had been used by his master. Upon hearing this, Master pulled the carpet from underneath him and, gathering it together, put it on top of his head. He then put the carpet next to him, where it remained throughout his talk. There is a very long pause while Master cannot speak because of tears. "Love and all things shall be added unto you." That's all right. Have respect from the heart. It is not a matter of show. The more you live a righteous life and practice true living, the more you live up to what you are told to do, that eases my burden, my burden. You help me, that's all I can say. That concludes that talk, Love is the Way. And with the time remaining, I'm going to read a talk that has been read before, but is so worthwhile, it's worth reading again. Called The Way of Love. It's a letter from the master to an initiated couple dated May 4th, 1965, and it was printed in the November 1970 Satsandesh. "Dear ones, you have been all along on my mind, and your sweet remembrances have always been fresh by the presence of dear blank. I send you my loving message. Human body is a precious asset granted to you all. It is the highest rung in God's creation. The highest object of this earth life in human form is to realize our own selves and then realize God. It is such a noble task which can only be accomplished in the human body. Soul is a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, and in its miniature capacity carries all the divine attributes of Godhood. Since it is environed by mind and matter, it has lost its heritage and forgotten its origin, the true home of the Father. The Masters come to our help, to awaken us from this long slumber of ignorance. All the past masters, including Christ, have been stressing the importance of this inner development of soul. An unbiased study of scriptures will reveal to you that the Masters have been coming to this earth planet in all ages for the guidance and deliverance of child humanity. Those dear ones who were privileged to sit at their holy feet enjoyed the rare bliss of inner communion with them. The imperative necessity of such a master soul is still felt by such loving souls who yearn to meet him during their lifetime. The eternal law of demand and supply continues working for all time. So it is under divine dispensation that a living master comes for rendering feasible assistance and guidance for such ready souls. It is in accordance with the execution of the divine plan that I have been assigned this noble task of assisting all dear ones in the fulfillment of their cherished goals. I would love to assist them in this respect. It is the divine grace of my Master that whosoever had the good fortune of seeking inner life has been blessed with the conscious contact of the holy Nam within. The holy initiation into the mysteries of the beyond is a unique start for further development. Most of you have been blessed with this rare gift of heavenly nature, with the grace of the Master. Now it is up to you to develop it from day to day by regular, faithful, and accurate meditations. I am glad that most of you have been devoting regular time for your holy meditations and enjoying inner bliss and harmony. I wish you more of success in your ventures. I would stress the importance of self-introspection, for which the maintenance of the diary has been prescribed. A keen vigil and careful living is an essential helping factor for inner progress. A disciplined life by having complete control over the senses, which feed the mind, which in turn overpowers the soul, should be cherished. The inner divine links of light and sound are most helpful for controlling the senses. If you will follow these divine principles, the inner change of life will follow automatically. Truth is above all, but higher still is true living. You should love one another so that others may see and know for themselves that you belong to the Master. God is love, and love is God. The way back to God is also through love. You should always remember this divine principle, that love begets love. The Father is always pleased to see the loving children laying their heads together for the common holy cause of the Master. When two lovers of the Master meet, they grow in loving devotion and right understanding. Satsang is a great helping factor for spiritual progress. It is the divine grace of the Master which radiates in such holy congregations where the dear ones get together for imbibing the sacred teachings. I would say that it is an arena where spiritual stalwarts are built. The loving life impulses are radiated in great abundance by the gracious Master power in these gatherings. You can derive immense spiritual benefit by getting together in His name. My heart goes out to all you dear ones. You see, distance is no barrier for the Master power, and anywhere the yearning souls would pray for His guidance, He would materialize and bless you through and through. Time and tide wait for no man. Make hay while the sun shines. You should always high on your holy path, irrespective of worldly gains or losses. You will appreciate that after all, everything is to be left behind at the final hour of death, and only the holy Nam will accompany us into the beyond. You know very well the supreme importance of regular meditations. The more you are developed while living here, the more of the inner journey is covered in the beyond. Know it for certain that you are here in this mortal world only for enjoying the rare bliss of holy Nam. God and Master, God and man, first, all else secondary. It is the bread of life which must be partaken regularly so that your souls may become strong enough to pass through the vicissitudes of physical life. Love is the panacea for all ills. Please give up all remorse and resentment and live cheerfully. You should remember that nothing binds the human soul more than drooping spirits of morbidity. Always keep cheerful, resigning yourselves to the will and pleasure of the Master. You should know it for certain that you are under the gracious protection of the Master Power, and He is ever with you, through and through. I'll stop reading there, because our time is up. I was reading The Way of Love, that was printed in the November 1970 Satsandesh. And before that, I concluded the talk, Love is the Way, published in the February 1976 issue of Satsandesh. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Claire, for reading Master's beautiful words. There were 83 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of loving devotion to you.
Love knows service and sacrifice. Love beautifies everything. Love knows no burden. Love knows giving, not taking.